Off the ball rugby.
You could argue, say, Rocky's obviously up there.
But
I'm just saying the overall impact of...
I've had 5 days.
Yeah, but I was mad at the match every time. So, I mean, like...
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening. You're very welcome along to Tuesday Night's Off the Ball. We're on your radio until 10 o'clock tonight. And the big breaking news this evening is that Southampton have been thrown out of the Championship playoffs. This comes on the back of the Spygate controversy that dogged their semi-final victory over Middlesbrough. Borough will now face Hull in this weekend's playoff final. We'll bring you all the details on this story momentarily in our news round. Also coming up tonight, we'll be speaking to Darren O'Sullivan and Stephen Rothschild about all things Gaelic football between 8 and 9. And from 9 to 10, as always, the football show is coming your way. Keith Tracy will be sitting here in studio to watch the Premier League doubleheader tonight, where there are implications at both ends of the Premier League table. And we'll also be joined by Tim Vickery to break down Neymar Mania, which broke out across Brazil yesterday evening when Carlo Ancelotti announced the former Barcelona player in his World Cup squad. So he's going to be playing in his fourth World Cup, and it's a really, really interesting one. So looking forward to catching up with Tim Vickery a little bit later on. Our number is 087-9180-180. Let us know, is it right or is it wrong that Southampton have been turfed out of the playoffs? They will not be playing Premier League football next season. We have Ben Symes here in studio. Ben, how are you doing?
Very well, on. How are you?
And Will O'Callaghan for tonight's news round has been given a big dollop of a breaking news story. Nothing like it at 6:55.
So you know what? I'm desensitized at this stage after years of sitting in front of Sky Sports News within the office. So again, I'm sorry for pulling behind the curtain here ever so slightly. But basically for 23 hours a day, unless there's something live happening, Sky Sports News is generally on the office just rolling. We've at this stage got to the point where you go, ref watch is being repeated. No big deal. The old days of the black banner coming up and it being an actual breaking news story. Very rarely is it actually a breaking news story. But just a few minutes ago in the office, we all kind of looked up simultaneously at the screen and went, Southampton are out? What? And then you're thinking, are they banned from something next year? No. Middlesbrough have now been walked into the final of the Championship, which is a most remarkable story. I don't know how you guys feel about it, I'm sure we'll dig into it in a second. The idea that something happens on the training ground before a game, as obviously discussed between the two legs, has now determined what happened on the field of play, in that Middlesbrough obviously lost the match to Southampton on the field of play, but still they go to the final. So what do Millwall now have a case by saying, why are they allowed to walk through having not won a game?
Yeah. Do you want to put some meat in the bone of this? I'm not sure if you've got the EFL statement there in terms of what's come through this evening. I have it here as well. If not, we may as well just get stuck into this first story in terms of what you can tell us.
I'll give you the story and you give us the statement. How's about that?
Yeah.
So Southampton have been expelled officially from the Championship playoffs, with Middlesbrough reinstated to take on Hull in the final at Wembley this Saturday afternoon. It's after the Saints admitted multiple breaches of EFL regulations for filming Middlesbrough training session ahead of the semi-finals. You remember that was an intern, it claimed, from the club, who was standing beside a tree that was filming the training session, became called Spygate, and Southampton still reserved the right to appeal that decision, despite the fact that we're now just a few days out from the final. So what have the EFL had to say?
Yeah, so on EFL.com, an independent disciplinary commission has today expelled Southampton from the Championship playoffs after the club admitted to multiple breaches of EFL regulations relating to the unauthorised filming of other clubs' training. In addition, the club has received a 4-point deduction that will be applied to the 2026-27 Championship table alongside a reprimand in respect of all the charges. The effect of today's order is that Middlesbrough are reinstated into the 2026 playoffs and will proceed in the final against Hull City, and that remains scheduled for Saturday the 23rd of May. Then they go through details of the date. So first charge Friday the 8th of May, further charges issued on the 17th of May, 2 days ago, in relation to additional breaches during the 2025-26 season. So those additional charges arose from matters identified after the initial proceedings involving Middlesbrough were initiated. So just to go into a bit of detail on this, because this is quite interesting, Southampton admitted breaches of regulations requiring clubs to act within the utmost good faith and prohibiting the observation of another club's training session within 72 hours of a scheduled match. The admitted breaches concerned fixtures against Oxford United in December 2025, Ipswich Town in April 2026, and Middlesbrough in May 2026. So it's not just the Middlesbrough game in question here. Now they
and
do
possibly
say,
not just the intern then, because that was the very easy thing to blame on. We sent an intern up to
the poor intern.
It was a one-off and it was an intern. They're already gone. I mean, look, they're working somewhere else. Like, obviously this has been going on for, as you said, a period of months.
There is a line here that says Southampton has a right to appeal the commission's decision in accordance with EFL regulations, and the parties are working to try and resolve any appeal on Wednesday. So that's tomorrow. Subject to the outcome, it could result in a further change to Saturday's fixture. So could this go all the way to CAS? Do they have to keep kicking this fixture down to, during the World Cup, beyond the World Cup? The EFL is now in discussion with all three clubs regarding the implications of today's decision and will make a further announcement in due course. And the Commission's full written reasons will also be published in due course.
So given the amount of money that's on the line here, whatever about, say, the sporting implications of going into the Premier League for next season, how much promotion is worth to these clubs? If you're Southampton, you're going to get the best King Councils that Man City could afford and get them working for you for the next 24 hours and whatever else it takes after that. I can't imagine Southampton take this and just go, oh yeah, we admitted the breaches and we're more than happy to be kicked out of the playoffs.
Well, I thought Southampton were screwed from the first minute I realised that they wrote in a new clause in the aftermath of the Bielsa Spygate scandal in 2019. They were playing by a harsher set of rules when this thing came to light compared to what Bielsa's side were. And the entire reason they wrote this into the rules after that was that if something like this was ever going to happen again, the team would need to get a harsher punishment than a few hundred thousand pounds. And unfortunately, that's what Southampton have found themselves in. They realised the rules that are in place since then. They've broken those rules. And my opinion on this has actually changed at the start. And I still do. I still find this hilarious, by the way. I still find it like really, really funny that an intern was there beside the tree simultaneously when you see what's come out in the intervening few days and you listen to like the likes of Kim Hellberg and anybody from the Middlesbrough setup and how emotional he got in particular. Like, he talked about how this breaks his heart. He was in tears in the press conference. That's when my opinion on this started to change. And you were like, okay, it's not exactly a victimless crime here. Personally, I think there's only so much of this can actually help you on the field of play. But my opinion kind of went from this being a jovial sort of slapstick story to one that I thought was actually going to lead to Southampton being thrown out of the playoffs. And I'm not that surprised with this.
Yeah, my opinion's hardened a little bit when they're admitting to the multiple breaches and how long they go back, because I could see the benefit in going, okay, we've got a championship playoff semi-final. If we're going to spy, now is the time, or spy just before the final. You do it right before the big one. If you're doing it for a game against Oxford in October of last year, that's just going, we're just going to do it all the time. And if they're just the three breaches you're admitting to, there's also the question about whether it actually happened more often and these were ones that they weren't caught for. So I don't know, they've obviously been doing this fairly frequently, but for me, expulsion from a competition seems like a massive punishment.
It seems like way overboard. I think it's also pretty hilarious that like Will Steele was the gaffer, Tonda Ecker comes in and everyone's like, oh my god, he's a genius, he's turned Southampton completely around, and it turns out he was just turning up to every other team's training camp before the week. I do think expulsion from the competition though is a little bit overboard.
What would have been an appropriate punishment?
Like a seriously, seriously heavy fine. Like, I'm talking a fine that completely offsets your promotion to the Premier League. I just think it's because you've not just punished Southampton here, you've punished Hull City and you've punished Millwall as well. The other teams who are involved in the playoffs. Like, Hull have spent the last 2 weeks basically prepping, or a week and a half prepping to face Southampton. And now you're told 4 days out, oh no, you're actually going to face Middlesbrough instead. Yeah. Middlesbrough team who've been training since this, knowing that they can only potentially face you. I think Millwall, who are on the other side of the playoff draw, are also going to be thinking, what the hell happens to us here? You've just given a team who've in the exact same position as us. They lost the playoff semi-final, a route in. I also think, like, part of me kind of thinks, I have sympathy for getting spied on, of course, but part of me kind of thinks, like, you had 46 games to try and get yourself into the top two. Middlesbrough were in the top two for a lot of that as well, and they ended up, you know, I don't want to say bottling it, but they ended up eventually finishing in the playoff spots. Is it really, like, it just
be
punishment
that,
for
be
a crime?
Be interested to ask Keith later how much can actually be gleaned from watching a training session. I know it probably depends on what's being done. Like, if there actually are set pieces or there are routine moves or whatever, you could have picked up the lineup or you could have picked up maybe some of the ideas that they had. But given when you hear how much access coaches have now to things like Y Scout and so on, where they can watch every single throw in from a team or every single corner and everything is mapped all the time, there's almost like an abundance of information out there already. I just wonder what an intern with a camera actually picks up that you wouldn't have already picked up in the scouting of a team beforehand. But yeah, it'd be interesting. Keith will obviously know what it's like when teams are preparing for these type of big games. Maybe some of the work they do that actually would be hugely beneficial to know. But to me, again, expulsion just sounds so, so heavy, so, so strong. But then again, and I'm not speaking out both sides of my mouth here, we complain oftentimes the footballing authorities don't go down harshly enough when they're handing out punishments. The EFL have obviously shown a massive backbone by saying, right, we're going to expel a team from the playoffs, what, 4 days out from the final?
I actually don't disagree with your point at all on the Y-Scout thing. I think there's more information than ever out there, and that maybe flies in the face of my opinion that maybe it's right to kick Southampton out. The one thing I would say is that if you're Hull City, you would be stupid to have been focusing just on Southampton for the last week. The writing was firmly on the wall here. Once it first emerged that maybe the fixture wouldn't take place on the day, surely there could have been a little bit more done in terms
of... On the other side of that, like, Middlesbrough know that they only could have faced Hull. So they get to do a week preparation on Hull, whereas Hull are going, geez, we don't know who we're going to play until 4 days out. Look, that's pretty redundant.
Their season was over, though.
You should be ready to face a football
team.
Also,
fair play to Middlesbrough for continuing on the way they were, because... You know, when these punishments are going through, it would be very easy psychologically to go, there's a good chance this doesn't actually end up with the final being changed or the game being replayed. But they went back, by the sounds of it, directly to training, and they've been preparing away for the playoff final as if they knew they were going to play in it, which is proved to be pretty clever now at this point.
It certainly has. It was already said to be a pretty big night of football news, Will, because you got a doubleheader in the Premier League. You want to take us through this?
Yeah, I mean, look, huge implications potentially for tonight. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola insists he's focused solely on ensuring that the battle for the Premier League title goes down to Sunday's final game of the season. The leaders Arsenal's 1-0 win last night against Burnley means their title rivals must get a victory against Bournemouth, who are still chasing European qualification to stand any chance of finishing top of the table at the weekend. Reports suggesting, as of last night, that the City manager will be leaving the club at the end of the current season, having won 20 trophies across a decade. Also today, reports that he's already told the players ahead of tonight's game that he will be leaving at the end of the season. At his press conference, which happened before, obviously, these reports come out, Guardiola was asked about his side having only 3 days to recover after their weekend win against Chelsea in the FA Cup final.
So we have 3 days, they have 10 days to prepare that game. They played to qualify for the Champions League, so... I think they have an argument to be the best version of the best performance of Bournemouth. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. And when you arrive in the last fixtures, when you play for something important, the opponent already don't play for anything, so it's easier. So that is not the case tomorrow. So I'm pretty sure 10 days just thinking on us. So now we start to think on them. So, but this is where it is. When the people say, you know, play in the same conditions, never in the teams we play in Europe, so on the last stages always you play in different conditions, but we are used to it. Happened in Chelsea, have 1 week to prepare the final, we have 3 days to prepare the final and tips and so on, but at the same time, yeah, we prepared the best way, knowing exactly what you have to do, so it's not much complicated. So we have to win and try to, you know, win the hopes for the last game at home against Aston Villa.
We are going to be talking to Graham Hunter from 7:30 tonight to assess what potentially happens next for Pep Guardiola, assess a bit of the legacy of Guardiola at Manchester City as well. In terms of team news tonight, Manchester City, once again, with a little bit of an unpredictable team, no Ryan Cherki in that starting 11, for example, but it's Donnarumma in goal, it's Nico O'Reilly, Mark Guehi, Kushinov and Nunez across the back, it's Rodri, Kovacic and Bernardo Silva in midfield, Doku, Antoine Semenyo and Erling Haaland playing tonight. Easy to suspect who Mikel Arteta is going to be shouting for tonight, Will.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, Arteta delighted with what happened to Arsenal last night as well, hoping that City slip up, which would hand them a first title in 22 years. The Gunners boss has thanked their fans particularly for helping them get over the line against Burnley last night.
Incredible to witness what we have created in this stadium. And obviously, I have memories from the past and the comparison. It's unbelievable to watch. I'm so proud of that. Today they have created something so special outside the stadium, in the stadium, and now we have set the standards that, as I said, we are all responsible to maintain, because if we can provide that, we know the outcome.
Middlesbrough have released a statement. They say, Middlesbrough Football Club welcomes the outcome of today's Disciplinary Commission hearing. We believe this sends out a clear message for the future of our game regarding sporting integrity and conduct. As a club, we are now focused on our game against Hull City at Wembley on Saturday. Ticket information for our supporters will be available shortly. The screen grab of Taylor Harwood-Bellis making the binoculars celebration that... a Borough player is... It was at a Borough player. That's going to be an iconic screen grab for a long, long time. And I suspect these two clubs will be in the same division at some point in the next couple of seasons once again. And that'll be an interesting first meeting.
Is that you saying Hull City all the way?
I was going to say, it could be next season, that.
Yeah, true. That is a very good point.
How funny would that be if this all got overturned and then Hull end up pumping them in the final?
Yeah, could the two teams end up playing to their first game next season.
On to Tottenham then.
Yeah, obviously Spurs have got the chance to basically copper fasten their place in the Premier League for next season tonight. Roberto De Zerbi says his players deserve the chance to stay in the Premier League with their recent form. A draw against Chelsea would be enough to ensure their safety.
Well, we have to play with confidence because in the last... Four games, in the last five games with me, because we didn't deserve to lose the game in Sunderland. But in the last four, we made 8 points. And if you analyze the performance, I think we could make more points than eight. And for that, we have to be in confidence, to be positive. Anyway, we can't forget 1 month ago what was the situation. We are not safe yet. It's tough in Premier League. Make points, make 1 point is tough because all teams fight on the pitch. All teams are very tough to beat. But we have the quality enough, and we have to show the quality with the right mentality, the right spirit. I want to see courage on the pitch. Try the condition to win the game.
Yeah, so Chelsea versus Spurs, 8:15. Bournemouth versus Manchester City, 7:30. We'll keep you up to speed on all of that this evening. Tomorrow night then, Will, huge fixture for Aston Villa.
Yeah, the reason these games are on Tuesday night is because they couldn't go up against the Europa League final tomorrow. The Aston Villa manager, Unai Emery, had his press conference a little bit earlier. He says they're going to wait and make a late decision on whether or not Onana is going to be fit to play in that final against Freiburg. He's not played since the end of April due to a calf injury. Emery has confirmed that Villa will give Onana all of tomorrow to prove his fitness ahead of the game. Captain John McGinn was also speaking. He was named in the Scotland squad today as well. He was part of the Villa team that earned promotion from the Championship, and he says that that journey has put this European final into context.
I think it does, because if we lose that match, are Aston Villa here at the minute? Probably not. The club had just been taken over by Nassef and Wes, who are still contributing now. So the journey has been amazing, and each player, each staff member, each manager has played a small part in the growth of the club. And this is an important moment. It's hard to believe 7 years ago that we were competing in a final to get into the Premier League. But I think for us tomorrow night, it will be nice to see the supporters who were there. Rotherham away, Wigan away, nights like that on a Tuesday night when it's very easy to stay at home. They deserve it just as much as the players do, and hopefully we can give them something to remember.
Yeah, Aston Villa versus Freiburg tomorrow at 8 p.m. in Istanbul. Now, really disappointing news for tennis fans ahead of Wimbledon, never mind Roland Garros this year, Will.
Yeah, I think most people are hoping the two-time former Wimbledon champion Carlos Alcaraz will be back in time for SW19, but he has withdrawn from the tournament due to a wrist injury. The Spaniard has been out of action since suffering that problem at the Barcelona Open in early April. Of course, he's not playing the French Open at Roland Garros either. Alcaraz says, although his recovery has been going well, he's still not ready to compete, so he's going to miss two slams in a row.
Okay, we have continuing news from World Cup squad announcements that we aren't jealous about whatsoever.
Yeah, I know you're going to be talking about Neymar later on again, the Barcelona squad. Well, no great surprise that Cristiano Ronaldo will play in his sixth World Cup after being named in Portugal's squad for this summer's competition. The 41-year-old will become the first player to ever achieve that feat should he appear during the tournament in North America. Manager Roberto Martinez named a squad of 27 players earlier rather than 26. People wondered why. It includes a symbolic spot for Diogo Jota, who passed away last year. Scotland boss Steve Clarke also named his 26-man squad for the World Cup. Southampton striker Ross Stewart is the big one, coming back in after 4 years in exile. Rangers teenager Finlay Curtis has also been included. No space, though, for Lennon Miller, who'd been playing well for Udinese in Serie A this season. And Craig Gordon is one of the goalkeepers included, and he'll become one of the oldest players in the history of the tournament if he plays at the age of 43.
It's a couple of glaring omissions there, and that's got Kieran Bowie, who left Hibs to go to Verona in January, kind of in search to prove that he can move on to the next level, is left out of it. He scored the weekend for Verona as well in Serie A. Ollie McBurney as well, the Hull striker who's been on flying form, left out for Ross Stewart for his first call-up in 4 years. So a few bit of murmurings in the Scottish public about why those two weren't called up.
Ben, you're a massive fan of squad announcements. You were watching live last night as Carlo Ancelotti was announcing his 26-man squad.
myself and 3.4 million others on YouTube. And when I tell you my whole day was built around this, I love Brazilian squad announcements. Like, even when it's like a friendly squad, or if it's like the equivalent of a Copa America qualifier squad, I always watch Brazil squad announcements, as weird as that may sound. It's the way they do it. Like, the manager just goes up, there's no kind of fracas behind him with a screen or anything. He just goes up with a sheet of paper and he lists, you know, attackers, Enrique, Leon, and goes through the whole list. And it was unbelievable last night. It was scheduled to start at 8 p.m. Didn't end up, but Carlo Ancelotti didn't end up going up until 9 p.m.
He's like, you're ready for draw.
Oh, it was better. There was an hour of build up, even more like picking magic balls out of magic pots, like type of thing. Like, it was just absolutely insane. Eventually Ancelotti goes up and he's going through the squad, and you're kind of going through it. You realise the amount of Brazilian based players that are called up. The team with the most players are Flamengo with 4, and then you finally get to the stage where everyone's waiting for attackers, and Endrick is the first name, and the room starts going mental, and you realise he's going in alphabetical order, and then just when he gets to the start of the Neymar, and the whole room just goes bananas. There's drums, everything's being pounded against each other. You see the scenes on the streets are just flooded, people celebrating, chanting his name. It's like, I don't think we've, even seeing it, I don't think we fully appreciate just the sheer madness that football has in Brazil. The hole that it has in the people there is insane.
Yeah, there was men crying into their phones. There was people throwing furniture around their living room seeing this news come through last night.
Do they think this is Neymar from 2017 that's just been called up, as opposed to Neymar of now?
It's an interesting question. Them or Carlo Ancelotti? I'd say Carlo Ancelotti doesn't even know the answer to that question.
There's part of me that wonders, Carlo Ancelotti picking Neymar, would Carlo Ancelotti have wanted to pick him? There was obviously a feeling within Brazil that they want him to be in the squad. It was kind of a bizarre scene last week, because if anyone missed it last weekend, Neymar got accidentally subbed off, and it was the last game before he had a chance to actually make an impression before the squad was named, and Neymar's face kind of looked as if I'm probably not going to get called up on the back of this. I remember how annoyed people got in Brazil in 2010 when he wasn't called up as a teenager, and there was this feeling that he was ready to go back then. I really think he'd be in a squad in 2026 after what's happened the last 18 months, but here we are.
Tim Vickery coming up on the Football Show after 9 o'clock to get stuck into that one. Now then, Troy Parrott, what's going on?
Yeah, well, Troy Parrott says he's focused on taking the next step in his career this summer. The Dubliner scored 31 goals in all competitions across this season. He's been very impressed for AZ Alkmaar. Played their last game of the season at the weekend. He's been linked currently with clubs in England and in Germany. Well, Parrott said after the game against NEC at the weekend that his 2 years in Holland have been the best of his life, but he's now ready to move to a bigger club.
We have GMAC at the US Open then.
We do, yeah. GMAC sealing his place at the US Open earlier today. Back-to-back rounds of 69 at the qualifier tournament in Dallas overnight have seen the Ulsterman earn a qualifying spot for next month's tournament at Shinnecock Hills. It will be McDowell's first major since his exemption for winning the US Open ended in 2020. And of course, he tumbled down the world rankings after joining LIV Golf as well.
Just one last story, the AFLW international game. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, well, the details confirmed now at this stage ahead of the first ever international match. Can't call it compromise rules because they're not going to be in effect. But Ireland and Australia will take place. North Sydney Oval, which is a 16,000 capacity stadium on the edge of Sydney, will be the host venue for the fixture, which will be on Saturday, August the 1st. So it's right in the middle of AFLW pre-season out of their expanded league this year. It'll be played entirely under Australian rules rather than a hybrid version of the game. Over 40 Irish players are set to feature in the AFLW for next season. Last year, Jennifer Dunn, Dana Finn, Ony McDonough, Brian Bogue and Niamh McLaughlin were all named on the All-Australian team. So Irish players have been pretty dominant since they've gone over, and obviously we've got a record amount of them playing. It will be naturally Irish-based players in Australia who will play against Australian players. So it will be a glorified pre-season friendly, but it maybe has just thawed the ice a little bit about the idea of a compromise rules game happening again for the men too.
Will O'Callaghan, great stuff. Thanks, Millie, for joining us on the News Round. Ben will be chatting to you a little bit later on. The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film-coated tablets contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 mL tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. We're going to be speaking to Graham Hunter after the break to talk about the legacy of Pep Guardiola at Manchester City, as his departure is pretty much confirmed now after this weekend.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.